celebrity moms and dads about parenthood.
And so much more.
Remember, if you're going crazy, you're doing it right. Here's your host, Ashley Maleo.
Hello, hello. I am so excited to talk to this next guest. You can just tell that she's one of those genuinely good human beings. I mean, I feel like you have to be in order to bear it all the way that she does. There's a special type of vulnerability when it comes to publicizing your body of all things on social media of all places. She just does it with such grace and humor, and she's just so inspiring. I love her to death. Every single woman needs to follow her and hear her speak. She isn't just for moms who have given birth. She's about body positivity in general. You may know her by her Instagram name, The Birds Papaya, but her real name is Sarah Nicole Landry, and we are going to talk to her right now. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I know. Me too. This is great. Thank you so much for having me.
No, of course. I discovered you somewhat recently on Instagram, so I'm really excited to have you on my podcast.
Yeah, I recently discovered you too. I love that about social media though. It's like my absolute favorite to kind of like connect with people from all different stories and life backgrounds and kind of like find those commonalities and like dive deep. So that's like my favorite. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, you were in my explore section on Instagram and I was just like, oh my God, who is this girl? And I was smiling. I was like, this is amazing. Like your feed, not only is it beautiful, which we'll get to in a second, because I know you have like presets, right? For your...
Yeah.
Yes. So your feed just looks beautiful. And thank I just you. Love how, like, I mean, you put everything out there. I love it. Like it's yeah. beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. So we'll start with, you know, for those who don't know you or may not have discovered you yet, when did you start blogging and all that?
So like 10 years ago, I started blogging and then it was just like kind of a sidebar to my life. I needed something creatively to do on the side of just being a stay-at-home mom. And I took a pause from it for a while. And when Instagram came out, I sort of kind of started live blogging through Instagram. And then it ended up reviving my old blog back again. So that's kind of what happened in a very short form of all of that. But yeah, like I've been actively sharing my life for like over 10 years, which is crazy to think about.
What I love about your Instagram account, especially the most, is it's very much like you treat it like a diary, like you're very mm-hmm. open. And I love it. Like you share all parts, not just with yourself, with, you know, all the body positivity, but with, you know, like the other day you were talking about how, you know, you and your husband had a fight and all that,
yeah.
like you put it all out there. And I love that because I feel like people on Instagram, especially, you know, they don't just, you know, filter their pictures, which I'm guilty of, but they, you know, it's like they filter their content in a way that isn't genuine, you know?
No, I completely agree. It's been, honestly, the only reason that I really even started doing it was I went down the perfection pathway. I did this whole, I had lost 100 pounds and I was feeling good about myself. And I was like trying to just project this perfect life and this perfect marriage and this perfect everything. I just wanted to be so having it together online because in the background, I actually really didn't have it all together. And I think that that's the story for most of us. I think at the time I thought it was just me, but I was the only one who was kind of like faking it till I make it. And it was mentally taking a toll on me. It was a lot of pressure to kind of, you know, at the end of the day, when you're like, I'm not who I am online, like that's not me. And it kind of took a toll on me. And I decided to start sharing a lot more candidly and a lot more real. And I was going through a divorce and I had to really face a lot of the demons that have been going on and behind the scenes and behind the highlight reel of my life, which was, you know what, weight loss didn't make me happy. I was still struggling with my body. I had a really upsetting divorce and there was a lot of stuff going on and being a single mom and all of these shame points of my life that I was exhausted by being ashamed of. So I wanted to start getting out of social media what I needed. And a lot of that was just the therapeutic storytelling and sharing my experience. And I couldn't believe, even though I had come from being a little bit of a picture perfect type of storybook human online, I just started connecting with people in a lot more real way. And it changed my mental health. It changed my outlook on how I viewed social media. It helped me see that it doesn't have to be a space where we're perfect. And it doesn't have to be a space where we feel drained by it. And I'm still all for like a really beautiful picture, like nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But just like doing it in a way that I felt was a lot more genuine to who I was. I'm still a creator at the end of the day. I think anybody who likes to take pictures and post them and, you know, you have your pretty filters and everything like that, that's fine to me, but it's like it's the core of what it is that we're talking about and the core of what we're doing online and what we're getting away from it. And if we're all just looking for a bunch of likes on our photos, eventually that starts to kind of weigh on us. So it was really important for me, especially just to kind of change my direction. And I have been blown away with support in that. And I found amazing, like-minded people who have supported me along the way, even if they don't even know it, just people that, you know, share their bodies or share their stories and made me feel really empowered during a season of feeling very lost. So I feel like I have come to a really cool place where I get to kind of be that person now too. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Kind of like what you were saying, you know, it's like people start comparing themselves to other people on social media. And like you said, it's like a highlight reel. And, you know, it's the same with relationships too. People portray their relationships to be a certain way. And it's, you know, it makes it hard because then it's like when hard times come up in your relationship, which is bound to happen in any, you know, normal relationship, it's like it makes you feel like, you know, like, oh, is this normal? Am I supposed to be fighting because this person and their husband or this person and their wife, you know, they're not like this. And if people just shared more of those, like, you know, obviously everyone is welcome to have their privacy, especially with their relationships. But at the same time, I feel like if they did share some of those, like, you know, uglier parts of a relationship, that everyone else would just calm down and be like, okay, this is normal. Like, I don't need to be seeking other things. Like, this is part of, you know, a relationship. And then same with, you know, ourselves, as far as comparing ourselves to other people, it's like, we need to realize, you know, there might be flaws we don't know about.
Yeah, I think it's so important to kind of normalize what is normal for us, because maybe it's not normal for everybody, but it may be normal for someone else that felt like it wasn't. I also really like to talk about how it's so important to just be a good listener sometimes. When I was going through a hard time in my old marriage, everyone would just say like, oh, marriage is hard, marriage is hard. And I kind of talked about that and unpacked that the other day, that hard can be really different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a matter of like listening and understanding that, you know, us at the core need to be healthy and happy. And what does that look like? And what does that feel like? And when we're looking online and we feel exhausted by everyone else seemingly having these wonderful lives and these perfect relationships, sometimes it's like, I actually don't have that. And I'm feeling this, and connecting with those people in a completely different way. And in a way that's not like when I shared about my husband and I having this big blowout fight, it was important for me to share that because it felt, it was important to fight. Like, to me, it's fighting was not a bad thing necessarily. It felt like we're fighting for something, not against mm-hmm. each other. But it was still important to say, like, you know what? This for us is a normal part of our relationship, to kind of have these battles and to be able to share our feelings and feel safe to share our feelings and do it in a respectful way, not just be like this picture perfect family and not just, you know, ignore all the problems and sweep them under a rug either. There's so much, because social media came at a time that we're all kind of going through life. We went from being very private to very public.
Yeah, it's still pretty new. Yeah.
It's so new. I think we kind of forget that. We need to give ourselves more grace to the fact that we're still new in this. This is entirely new norms. And it is definitely what we make of it. I think for a long time we felt like we couldn't really be real, or if we were being real, it seemed like we were complaining too much and all these different angles. But I think there's such a cool way to connect with different people from all walks of life. When I was a single mom, I didn't have a single mom friend. So that was a very isolating time, but I did find them online. They were there. They were active. I was able to connect with women and feel really, really empowered by that. And then when I got remarried, I was able to find people that were on their second marriages and in blended families. And I got to feel empowered in that season and stuff too. So I think that that's where realism on social media is so beautiful, how it just connects people in all walks of life, but have these little bits of stories that kind of interchange with each other. And we can kind of make the social media experience something that's truly life building, the building block to something bigger and thought provoking. And instead of just coming away feeling drained, or like you said, that comparative nature, that feeling of, you know, when you are looking at somebody else's life, you start to compare it to your own, and it strips you of your own joy, of your own everyday, and of your own experiences and journey. So a lot of awareness, I think, is required when we're experiencing our time on social media and making sure that we're following people that, you know, feed back into our experience.
I totally agree. There's a lot of, you know, certain, not even just like celebrities, but, you know, other like influencers, there's certain people that kind of, you know, preach these things, but then they don't really practice it. You know what I mean? And then there's people like you, where like you're putting it all out there. You're like, hey, here's how I feel. And then look, I'm going to show you, like, I'm living this lifestyle that I'm talking about, which I really respect.
And especially with the body stuff, like for me, a big piece of that was that I had never seen a body like mine ever represented anywhere.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time it was shared, so many women slid into my DMs being like, oh my gosh, you have my stomach and I've never seen it before. And I was like, wait, what? There's others? There's more of us? And it became this, holy crap, there's a lot of people with a lot of different bodies, a lot of diversity. And then we just haven't really been included in for a really long time, which again is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to kind of like, I don't know, at the beginning, I wasn't sharing my stomach because I was proud of it at that time. I am now, but at the time I wasn't sharing it because I was proud of it. I was sharing it because I wanted to normalize it for myself. I wanted to kind of remove the cloak of shame that I was feeling. And like one time I referred to it as, you know, there's a saying that once a secret gets exposed, it loses its power. That's how I felt about my stomach postpartum and stretch marks, is that I looked great in clothes, but I felt like I was carrying around this secret, this like really big secret, that me removing that and sharing it on social media, it took away that power that it had over me. It took away this shame cloak that I had. And not only that, but it allowed me to get connected with other women who looked exactly like me. And suddenly, like, I'm not saying I'm at the forefront of this, but in the last year or so, suddenly we're seeing stretch marks in advertisements. We're starting to see body diversity coming out. There's a lot of work left to be done, but there's a lot more normalization to the changes of a body and the changes of our looks and that choice that we have with it and how we can choose to kind of go about it. I think it's not about shaming anybody for their one individual choices, whatever path they go down. It's more just, this is where I'm at. I know there's others like me. And, you know, together we can kind of change the conversation and change what, you know, our daughters and sons see as they grow up. And maybe they'll have a totally different experience than we do.
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have three. They are all preteenish now. I have one that's turning 13 soon, one that's turning 11 next week, and then I have an 8-year-old, almost 9, little boy.
Wow.
So two girls and a boy.
What are their names?
Maya, Gemma, and Bowden.
Oh my God, I love those.
Yeah, my little bibs. So they're great. I have shared custody with them with my ex. So I get them, they usually take over my life from about Wednesday to Sunday every single week, and it's amazing. So I have such a good relationship with them. I think that nobody really, it's funny, again, on social media, it's so weird how there's hardly any older kids on social media. We see so many toddlers, and they're like, where are the older kids? When did we get to talk about the fact that like they're coming into like puberty and like all this stuff? And now I realize, I'm like, oh, it's because they literally hate the camera.
Yeah.
You go from having such agreeable children that do everything to like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. So
That's funny.
I'm like a mom blogger with like very absentee kids. Every once in a while, you'll see them kind of pop into things, but they're at the age of consent. They get to say what they want and say what they do, but I love it. It's so neat. It's such an interesting time to watch your kids grow into their own little humans and being their own little people. And I absolutely love it. So it's a fun stage right now for sure.
I totally understand though, because my son, he'll be 3 in August. And then my mom has 2 boys, and my one brother is in high school, and my other brother is only like 10 now. And I have other siblings, but with my mom, she's big on social media, and she always posts pictures of my son and my younger brother, but she never posts pictures of my brother that's in high school because he doesn't want to. And it's like when he was little, and she has all these, you know, film pictures of him from like disposable cameras or digital cameras or whatever. you know, social media wasn't around, like Instagram wasn't around like that, you know? So now exactly. that he's like older, like she's always trying to get his picture and he's like, no, stop. Like he doesn't, he's, for him being in high school, he's not even on social media. He's like one of those. Yeah.
Wow.
So
good
like
for
he
him.
Won't, I always say that too. I'm like, once you do it, like you're not coming back. So just don't
I know.
Do it.
it's such an interesting conversation too, because I found so many people were, there's a lot of warnings and a lot of like red flags when it comes to social media and kids, but I've had such a wonderful experience with it. My oldest now of age for social media, and she's really into things that I don't even understand. She's really into like cosplay and anime and all these different.
Oh, I saw like, you guys things. Went to Comic-Con,
yeah,
right?
We went to, like, yeah. A Comic-Con, and I was like, I have no idea what you're even talking about, but she found the people that do know what she's talking about. And she's got all these little online friends and this community of people that 100% know who she is and like in this, what she loves and can have conversations with her that I simply cannot.
That's
it was so
cute.
Yeah. Like taking her to, we took the train to Toronto and she's in her whole anime costume. And we got there and I'm like, there's all these people dressed up and all these characters that I have no idea who they are. And they're all coming up to her and they're asking to take pictures with her and stuff like that. And I was like, what's happening? This is so cool. And she was just in her element. Like she's such a cool kid and she's so creative and she has like such a drive for this stuff. But watching her literally light up in this room of people who understood her that she'd never really met in real life, that they were just people that shared the same interest that she found on social media. I was like, people need to talk about this.
They, yeah, like, that's yes, a good aspect of social
it, but
media.
The community part is so huge and so lovely. And I think just walking them through it in a mentally healthy way, in a way that, you know, our parents couldn't have done for us because we didn't know, they didn't know what we were coming into.
Yeah. The internet was like new, let alone social media and Instagram. And
I know, like the fact that we now deal like as adults with bullies on a regular basis is so shocking.
It's crazy.
So you look at your kids and you're like, I don't want you to experience this, but at the same time, I want you to experience the good side of it. And I want you to see that there are people halfway around the world that are just like you and share stories like you, that even if they're not in your personal community, in your hometown, they're somewhere and they're going to connect with those people and find those normalcies within that and feel a lot more included in different conversations and stuff. Right. So I've loved that. It's been such a cool journey kind of watching her come into it. And, you know, for myself too, I felt the same way. You know, you had all these people that you followed like out of obligation, or you follow people because they looked cool or they had very aspiring life, or, you know, they had a really cool weight loss story. And so you wanted to be a part of it. And then as time goes on, you're like, okay, why do I follow these people? What makes me feel good about following them? And what makes me feel bad about following them? And I really starting that awareness conversation with ourselves when we spend time on social media, especially in the realm of like our bodies. I think especially when there are certain people, and it's nothing to shame them. I always compare it to like, I can't have gluten, for instance. So, you know, it would be like me following 50 bread accounts and every single day feeling bad about myself and the fact that I can't eat a loaf of bread. But I also have the choice to unfollow those accounts and not feel that draining feeling of being excluded. I found, and then you can go and follow some gluten-free accounts or whatever you need to do to like make you feel filled up again. But it's so true. We kind of create the experience and we forget that we have that control. We forget that we have that authority over what that experience looks like or how long we spend on social media or the conversations we start or the conversations we participate in. So, yeah, I mean, being a mom and being on social media and having all these like interesting curveballs that come about, I think it's only just beginning and we're all just kind of figuring it out, right?
So you referenced that you currently share your children with your ex-husband.
Yeah.
How old were you when you first got married? And at what point did you know, like, okay, this chapter is through?
I was 19 when I got married, actually. So I was just a baby myself. And then I was pregnant by the time I was 20. I had my first when I was 21. I was pregnant again at 22, had her at 23, pregnant again at 24, and then had my son when I was 25.
Wow.
Crazy time of life. And you know what? Also wonderful. I kind of got to grow up with them, which was an experience that I don't take for granted at all. And then at 28 was when I started to kind of realize that I had put in myself so secondary and I needed to start focusing on my health and trying to get well. I was at the time 220. It was important. And I had just, you know what? I don't want to call them excuses. They were circumstances. There was a lot of things going on in my head, in my heart, in my life. And I had made these roadblocks for myself in my mind that said I wasn't going to be able to do anything about it because it ran in my family. I was somebody who was at home with three kids and no car and no extra money. You know, there wasn't the means to do all of these things. And at the moment that I pushed back on that, you know, when I first started trying to take care of myself, I was like running on a treadmill in my basement in jeans. Like we had a treadmill. That's the only thing we had. I didn't even have workout clothes. I didn't have a workout bra. I worked out in like normal clothes that I owned. And on my bedroom floor, there's like Bikini Body Mummy is like this amazing, body positive workout programs you can do online. And I would just do them in my bedroom. I'd like throw Britney Spears music on and just like dance in my bedroom if I could, like anything I could do to commit myself to trying to be more active. I was so absent from my kids' life in the terms of anything active. Like I was so ashamed of my body and so unable to kind of keep up with life. I was chronically tired. I was just really out of shape and I just committed to trying to change that. And I lost 100 pounds.
Good for you. Wow. Amazing. 100 pounds.
Yeah. 100 pounds.
Good for you.
Thanks. And that's kind of when I started to get a lot of this online media attention. So I was going through all of that. And like I said, there was a lot of stuff going on in the background too. So I was being praised for all of this great weight loss success. And I would talk about that and everything. And then, you know, eventually I didn't need to lose weight anymore and I needed to kind of exit away from that. But there is no conversations that are had anywhere that teaches you how to exit diet culture. How do you stop counting calories? How do you stop weighing yourself every day? How do you stop obsessing over your meals or being fearful of gaining weight? Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of a wake up call. When I was 30, I packed up my three kids and I moved in with my parents, which was I use the word humbling because there's no other word that I can use to describe what that was like. But I moved home and I had nothing to me and I didn't even have a car. I was working as a bar server and had my three kids living at my parents' house. And it was such an interesting chapter of life. But during that, I was so stressed out that I lost an additional 10 pounds. I was 114 pounds and I had been privately going through a divorce. Nobody had known that I had done this. I wasn't ready to talk about it. But all I heard was compliments like, oh my gosh, you've never looked better. You look so good. Like, what have you been doing? You look amazing. All of these comments about how good I looked. And at the same time, I had on the other side, people being like, you need to eat more. You look so malnourished. Like, when are you going to admit that you have an eating disorder?
And no one is ever fully, you can't please everybody, someone.
No. And I was just sitting there going like, I'm actually going through the biggest life stress I've ever had in my life. And on one end, I'm being complimented. And on one end, I'm being criticized. And I need to figure out where my balance is in this. I don't know how to function without counting my calories. I don't know how to get away from this comparative nature of this before and after that I've been projecting on social media. I'm now going through this divorce. I'm now, you know, a single mom of three. I have all this body shame. I have all these like issues to unpack. So I started doing that and I started really unpacking that and journeying alongside it on my social media. And it's so funny because I've left all of those old posts up. So when people go back and they're like, you can literally read about me saying like, it just takes sheer determination. Just count your calories and weigh yourself every day. And like, you'll get there and you'll feel happy. And I was like, yeah, it's a total crock of crap. Like I was not happy. I was actually really unhealthy and really struggling to find my balance. And I completely avoided the body positive movement because all I was hearing from them was, you can accept yourself as you are and you can choose what that looks like and you can be happy in your body. And I was like, no, like I'm saving up for plastic surgery. Like that's my next step. I'm not about this life at all. I just need to be like, if I stay a size two forever, I will be so happy. But that was such a lie because I got down to being that size and I wasn't happy at all. I had the same amount of self-hate that I did when I was 225 pounds that I did when I was 114 pounds. So, going through divorce and going through massive weight change and all of these little things, it kind of helped me redirect everything in my life. But in terms of that divorce and really to kind of answer your question of how I knew it was done, it was funny because I actually said that I wanted a divorce 3 years before I physically up and moved out. there was a lot of things to mourn. There was a lot of things for me to kind of go through. Like, you have all your material things, like your car and your house, and then there's status, and there's like what people know, and am I ready to have those conversations and whatnot.
I feel like a lot of people put pressure on marriage, you know, like, yes, it's sacred. Yes, it should be respected. But it's like, you as individuals, not just like one side, you know, not just the one person that might be unhappy, but both people, like, they deserve, you know, respect. They deserve like a true partner. Like, you need a fullness that's greater than just like sexual aspects or like the material aspects. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, because at some point in time, you know, that stuff isn't going to be really relevant, you know, so you need to feel that fullness. And I feel like especially when children are involved, people get so like, it's taboo, like, oh no, you can't do that because
you're breaking up a family.
The key is, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, now is just, you know, co-parenting and try to make that as smooth as possible. And I think as long as both parents are present in their kids' lives, I feel like you're fine. You know, I mean, I'm a child of divorce, you know, both of my parents, similar to you, they were married when they were like 18 and 19. They got divorced when I was around 2, and they've both since remarried and had other kids. And I feel like as long as, you know, my mom never spoke badly about my father in front of me, my dad didn't speak badly about my mother, like, you know, it was very like, I didn't know things about their divorce until I was like way older. I was like in high school when I found out like why and all this stuff.
And that's the thing, is we all, like, we often feel like we need to owe everybody our whys. And for me, like, I think you're so right. Like, marriage is this beautiful commitment between two people, but we cannot hold marriage as the bigger piece over a human. We need to value humans more than we do a marriage, because there are two humans existing in that that deserve to have, you know, all the things that the rest of us do. And I think that everybody who's ever been through a divorce or had a divorce chosen for them or have chosen one themselves, nobody chooses that unless you absolutely need to. I don't think that anybody would go down that path in like a selfish nature. Like, I think there is people obviously that, you know, it causes that, but for most of us, the core of it is it was a necessity. It was a need. It was a step towards something that a lot of people can point at being selfish, but I will fully, I've said this many, many times, that there was a choice that I had to make between being married and not existing or being the mother I always wanted to be and freeing myself of a marriage that, you know, wasn't working. Because there was a day, and everyone always says like, how did you know? How did you know it was time to end? And I said, because the day I woke up, and I was so sad that I woke up, I didn't want to be alive. I didn't feel suicidal, but I didn't want to exist. And that was like a huge moment for me to just say, like, I'm not surviving. I'm not falling on the sword and protecting this family. I'm slowly dying here, and I'm trying to hold it all together for everybody else. And that wasn't working. And when I went, the day that I left, I've told the story before, but it's one of my favorite moments in my entire life. But I left the house and I had the kids and I was explaining to them what was going on, and they're all crying because they're so confused. And it's such a confusing moment, I think, for kids to kind of hear that. And the biggest piece for them was they thought one of us was gone forever. Like, they thought one of us was going to move away. So kind of unpacking that. And I remember my mom was with me. She was sitting beside me and she looked at the kids and she said, you know, on the airplane, and they tell you when the oxygen masks drop down that the moms have to put them on themselves first before they can assist the child. And she's like, the reason for that is if the mommy doesn't save herself, she doesn't even have the opportunity to help you.
Yes.
So she needs to put on the oxygen masks. I know. And like every time I think about that, and I was like, it was so, I felt so bad. And people will often even say, like, that's such a selfish decision to leave a marriage when you had 3 kids. Now they have to split their time and you basically unburdened yourself and you put it on everybody else. But that's not what it is at all. I knew exactly what I was doing the second I walked out, is that I was finally taking care of myself. I was finally going to rebuild and be the mother that they deserved and that they needed. And I was putting the oxygen mask on. I was saving myself so that I could help them. And that's exactly what happened. I shouldn't say I've never regretted it, because I actually don't regret any of it. I can't regret the marriage. It was 11 years. I can't really regret it, because no matter what happened, I had these three beautiful children, and I've had such an awakening and awareness and a gratitude for my life now. I got married last September to my now husband, and we have such
congratulations.
Thank you. We've had such a beautiful relationship, and something that I probably would have just not known was so beautiful had I not gone through everything before him. And it's allowed me to kind of show my kids, like, this is what I want for you. This is what I want you to find. This is the kind of love that I want you to experience. And this is what kind of home I want you to create. And if for whatever reason you get it wrong and you get it like not quite right, or things change, like, it's okay to change the, you know, change the directions of what you're going on. Make sure that you're creating a home that is loving and warm and supportive and everything you want it to be, so that you are a whole person to kind of serve your family and pour from a very full cup that overflows with love. Like, I have such an amazing amount of support from my husband, and these kids are not his, and they have such an incredible bond with him. I mean, I never could have seen any of this, but I never really planned on it. I didn't plan to date. I didn't plan to get remarried. None of this was in the plan. The plan was just to get well. The plan was to get better. A big part of that being in my health journey, you know, when you're going through some huge transformation, like I had, it just caused me to, someone actually explained it to me once, like when you're trying to get one facet of your life healthy, it causes you to look at all the other factors of your life as well. And totally. I think that was a big part of it. So people will often be like, did you get a divorce because you lost weight? And I'm like, no, but there was an aspect of going through some sort of a health transformation that makes you more aware of like the unhealthy parts of your life, or the awareness that like you can change things.
Yeah. Or if you're trying to be healthy and you have like an unhealthy partner, it's like,
Absolutely. Come
on, do this with me. Don't you want to be healthy? That's not a negative thing to want to be healthy.
And having a healthy relationship together, right? And I think that some people will be able to completely repair and transform their marriages with the same person. And for some, it's completely not like doing something completely different. Because I was super against divorce. Like, young 20s me was like, divorce isn't a word in our marriage. That's what I used to say. Divorce isn't an option. We're here for good. That's never going to happen.
Regardless of kids too, I do feel like age can be a huge factor, because especially getting married so young, it's like me at my age, I'm 28. Who I was when I was 18 is not who I am now. Who I was when I was 21 is not who I am now. So it's like, you know, there's almost like a fear too, where it's like, okay, when I'm 38, am I going to be a lot different? Because I'm drastically different from when I was like 17, 18.
But thank goodness. Like, I hate when people say things like, oh, you've changed. I'm like, I would hope so. Like,
yeah. And if you're lucky, you find a partner that is like changing positively with you, and you guys can work together to grow together. And some people, they grow apart, and that's okay.
Yeah.
There's so much taboo. Like I was saying before, it's like you're not allowed to grow apart from somebody, but like you totally can. And it's okay. And you can find people that are on that same wavelength as you and like continue happy lives. You know, like both my parents did it. I know other people. You've done it.
Yeah. I've tried to like, I'm not like an advocate for divorce. I'm an advocate for people having a full life, like,
exactly.
and having good, healthy relationships, and understanding that that looks completely different for everybody. And I also am very aware of the stats, you know, 50% of marriages are failing. And if we're not ready to step back and say, I support you, and I don't need to know your whys, I don't need to know what happened in your marriage, you don't need to explain it to me, I'm just here for you as a friend. Most of us, we just need a lot more of that, because it is very hard to go through. It's very expensive to go through. It's very humbling to go through. But if we can just kind of support each other and support our choices in that, and just be there to support each other through that huge transformation of life, and just helping people, you know, kind of close that chapter. It's not the whole story. It's not the whole book. Sometimes it is a chapter. And I think it's the same way with friendships. We have people who are in our lives for certain chapters of the book, and they help us write that portion of the story. And then when it ends, it doesn't have to be like some big bitter blowout. Sometimes it's just, you know what, we're turning the page, and we've grown apart. You grow apart as friends, you grow apart as people. It's just one of those things that I think, as we go, as much as it's hard to, you know, discuss divorce without feeling like an advocate for it. I think it's also important for people to understand, like, you don't need to walk around feeling like you have this big shame secret your entire life. There's one woman I follow on social media who, she has the most beautiful family I've ever seen. Like, she has like one of those, I don't know if you've seen them, where they can line up all the kids and they all look perfect and they all have little outfits on the mat and they line them all up. And I'm like, how did you do that? What candy did you feed them? You know, I don't know how people do those, but she's one of those people. And I had written a post on divorce and she commented on it and said, you know, divorce was the biggest shame that I ever had in my life. And I was like, wait, what a minute, like, hold on here. This woman is like my dream family, my dream human, like, just love her home, love her outfits. And here she was saying that she had gone through a divorce. I had no idea, because we tend to just take these portions of our lives and we pack them up in little boxes and we pack them away and, you know, we close that part of our story. But what people don't often talk about is there's often aftershocks of divorce and there's a lot of things that make you reminded of that. And I think when we channel it into healthy discussion and without judgment, it can be so much better than if we feel like we have it all together and we have it all right. And, oh, like, if you had just married the right person, or if you had just persevered through that really hard time. Again, we don't know what everybody's hard time is. I listened to a woman on International Women's Day talk about her story of coming out of an abusive relationship, like an abusive marriage, an abusive relationship, and how unaware she was that that's what she was in. And I was like, when people talk to us about their relationship, sometimes I think we just need to show them love and support and let's allow them to make those decisions for themselves and just feel like they have community no matter what afterwards. And you know what, even if it's as simple as, I just didn't want to be married anymore, being like, okay, that's, we're still going to be here and we're still going to be supportive of you. I was so thankful that even though I was so scared that everyone was going to leave me and everyone was going to hate me and all of these things, at the end of the day, people talked about it for a while and then nobody cared anymore. And I had all my family there to support me. It wasn't as big a beast as I thought it was. And you know what? I maybe lost some friends that probably shouldn't have been my friends in the first place, if that's how their response was, without really knowing my whys, because they didn't need to. I just needed that support. And so I would hope that as time goes on and more people begin to share their stories coming through things like that, that again, it's like another thing that we can just normalize through healthy conversation and respectful honoring of each other's choices in life.
I love that. Has your experience with co-parenting been positive so far?
I'm like lucky in the sense that my kids are older. And so there isn't a whole lot of co-parenting that's quite necessary. The kids are very communicative with us. They have cell phones, so they can just text us, or not like little iPods and stuff like that. I shouldn't say cell phones. My oldest does because she's babysitting. But it's honestly not been as hard because I think I have older kids. I can understand if there were quite a bit younger, there would have to be a lot more discussions and a lot more interactions and things like that. To be completely honest, we don't really talk. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
I don't think there's set rules. I don't think it should be like, no, you and your ex need to be best friends for the kids, or you and your ex need to not speak at all. I think it's whatever works for your family, do.
Oh yeah. And you know what? My kids are so like, they know how fortunate they are, you know, and through all of this, they now have like three sets of grandparents. They have, you know, three parents right now. Let's root for a number four. Like, I would love for my ex to get remarried and there to be another female role in their life. Like, I'm such an advocate for the village and the fact that everyone can just like support each other and support raising those kids. It's not a competition for me to be the best parent. I just want to be the parent I want to be. And I want to love them through so many different things. And he might parent them completely different than me. In fact, I know he does. He parents them in totally different ways. And that's okay too. We can kind of have those differences. We're co-parenting in the sense that they have two supportive parents that come from two different sides of the coin sometimes and create two different kinds of discussions. And that's okay. I think that's great. And then they have someone like Shane, who my husband now, who is another bonus parent for them to kind of talk to and work with and do homework with. Like, he's fluent in French. I can't speak a word of it. And my kids are in a bilingual school. So, you know, he does homework with them and he does all of these things. So I have such a village mentality to it. I'm not out to win any parenting awards. I just literally want to watch my kids grow up and be happy humans. And whoever it is that does that for them, like, thank goodness. When I was a teenager, I had a mentor that was in her 20s, late 20s. I think I was like 16, 17 when she was 28 or 29. And my mom was like, I'm so grateful that we had her because there was a lot of things that you weren't going to talk to me with, but you would be willing to talk to her, like almost like a big sister, not quite a mom. And it really helped me create this village mentality of there's going to be times where my kids aren't going to want to talk to me and they're going to want to talk to their dad. And there's going to be times they don't want to talk to their dad and they want to talk to me. And maybe they want to talk to Shane, or maybe they want to talk to their grandma, or maybe they want to talk to their future stepmom, whoever that might be. I'm all for it. So co-parenting for us, although it was a little bit weird at first, it's weird to go from co-parenting in the same home to kind of doing it in separate homes where you don't really have that control anymore. Especially, I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years.
So you're like, what do I do?
Over everything. Yeah, I had full control. I knew exactly what they were eating every day. I knew exactly what was going on, what they were wearing. You know, it was a little weird to suddenly have them be like, wait, what is going on here? Like, what did you do here? And like, what happened in your day? And kind of stepping away from that and being like, now's your time. Like, our whole job as parents, we forget this so often. Our whole job is to teach them how to be independent from us. It's to teach them how to grow away from us. But we forget that. It's so easy to forget that. I used to always have to watch Finding Nemo right before my kids went back to school because I love that one line that says, if you never let anything happen to them, nothing will ever happen to them. Yeah. And it was like, okay, I can settle down. Like, they're okay. Like, they're learning to be independent away from me. And whether that's with their dad or on their own or doing all these things, it's a huge part of my parenting role to kind of let that go, to kind of be okay with other people in their life and other aspects of their life and other people raising them. And so it's been kind of a huge exercise for me to kind of go from being this full-time mom all the time at home to, hey, I actually have a life outside of you. We have a life and we're coexisting in two different ways and we get to kind of come back together and share our stories. It's just such a curveball though, when you go from, yeah, like being with them all the time to having to even share that time with them is quite a journey and quite interesting. But I think that it's difficult, especially when it comes to holidays and things like that. But at the end of the day, you've created a family that you love and a home that you love, and you celebrate things when you can celebrate them, and the days and the important times and dates stamps stop mattering so much. It just becomes more about when you're all together.
Yeah. My mom was a single mom for a while too. So what was it like for you dating with children? Do you have any advice for any moms that are, you know, going through that chapter of their life right now? Like, do you recommend, like, what's the proper time to introduce them? Like, all that stuff.
I had the funniest experience with it because I met my husband at work. And so he had actually come around and hung out with us a couple of times, like just in group aspects, bowling one time as a group. And my kids were just like glued to him. And I would like look at this guy and be like, holy crap, like, what is going on here? My kids were like right at the front being like, mom, do you like him? Like, do you like Shane? Like, cause I think he likes you. Do you think he has a crush on you? Do you think this, do you think that? They just loved him.
Aww.
They thought he was such a cool guy. And I, you know, had I been actually thinking it through, I would choose that method again. I thought it was so great to introduce him, not as a boyfriend, but just like as a friend in my life, because it really gave them all a chance to get to know each other outside that pressure of he might be your future dad.
Yeah.
Or he's somebody who I'm dating. And it also, you know, they really fell in love with them, and it made me a little bit scared too. There was a point in our relationship where I was like, oh my gosh, like what if this doesn't work out? Because they're going to be devastated. He has no obligation to them, which means if we break up, he never sees them again. That's like the end of that. How are they going to deal with that? How would that feel? There was all this like emotion between all of it. And I felt really confused. So there was a point where he took me aside and he said to me, like, no matter what happens with us, I'm going to be there for them if they choose to want that. So that was a really good conversation for me to have, because then I felt like I still had full authority and choice in the relationship and whether it moved forward or not. But I would say that like my biggest advice was just to allow the kids to get to know them on their own pace and their own time. And the fact that it was their idea for us to date and how supportive and excited they were when we actually announced that we were dating. And you know, our whole relationship has been kind of co-parenting together and doing all of these things. And he has taken it in such amazing stride. I got really lucky with that. There hasn't been really any, there was one incident, one time when he corrected them on something. And I think it was Bowden. And he was like, you're not my dad. And I was like, you totally saw that in a movie. Like, he just like, I don't even know where it came from. But that was the only time I've ever heard anything like that come out. There's so much respect there. But it's also kind of in the way that I've been with them forever, because there's been a lot of juggling, especially in the last few years. My kids got really used to having different authoritarians in their life. They understand that, like, even when my best friend is over, if she tells them something, like, they have to listen to her just as much as they would me or my mom or any other like family member, like an aunt or something. We all kind of have like had that authority to raise them. Like my sister, if she's around, when they were really, really little, I'd be like, if they're doing something wrong, like you schooled them, like that's totally okay to do that. So they got used to having that respect for different authoritarians. So it didn't feel like he was kind of coming in and being like this sudden voice in their life and telling them what to do. I think living with them, like we just got married in September. So it's still a new experience. I'm like, I felt like I had to almost brace him and be like, every 3 feet up the walls in the entire house are going to be disgusting until we retire. Like that's our life now. And I think it was a little overwhelming for him at first. Like, how is there this much laundry? How did we make a mess in the kitchen this quickly? I remember he came home one day and he's like, we have a cleaning lady that comes every 2 weeks. Like she's like, God bless her. She's like the best thing that ever happened to us. But she had come that day and he came home and he's like, oh, did she not come today? And I was like, no, she did. We've just been home for 2 hours. And this is what happened since then, right? So God bless him. Like he's so good about it. But we've also really enjoyed, I think for him, he really enjoyed how much kids can kind of add value to what you do. You kind of get to become a kid again. He goes, I didn't really get to go and like do all these things like amusement parks and like going to the park itself or like going to splash pad without looking like a total weirdo. And now I get to experience all these things and like, you know, do all the stuff that you can only really do with kids around. So it's been a really great experience. We've been together for 3 years now. And I honestly, like, I just think that I got extremely lucky and I wish that I had a little bit more advice to give, but maybe it was just, you know, God giving me the right man at the right time. And so I could kind of grow through that with him, but it's been really, really nice. And I'm really thankful that, you know, the kids have taken to him so much.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I love hearing stories like that. And I love that you share that. People are, you know, so afraid to take that next step maybe. And it's like people like you who share those stories, you know, it might help for them sure. Be brave and focus on their own self-care and all that.
Yeah, and I felt so guilty. I remember when I went from being like this single mom on Instagram to suddenly having a boyfriend, I felt like I was almost abandoning that group of women. And instead they were just like, no, like,
they're like rooting for you.
Beautiful, yeah, they were so rooting for me. But I think there was so much of me that wanted women to understand that it was okay to be alone. And there was so much happiness in that too. And that it was actually, I will still say to this day, even though I'm married now and I was married before, being a single mom was the most empowering and cool time of my entire life. It's not without its challenges, but I've never felt like such a badass than I did when I was like working two jobs, keeping a house, like paying my bills and like so scared I wasn't going to make my next paycheck, but I always did. Like, you know what I mean? Like there was always like those moments and it just made me feel like I could do anything. Like if I can take on the one thing I was the most scared of, which was never being able to be on my own 2 feet. You know, I went from being in my parents' house as a teenager to getting married in the first place, being a stay-at-home mom, relying on somebody else's income for most of my adult life to suddenly, holy crap, I'm by myself. Like this is all on me. I've got to do this. And what does that look like? It ended up really pushing me into completely new boundaries and to spend time with myself alone, like having an empty house, kids gone, being alone. And like, what does that look like? And what does it feel like? And instead of being so afraid of it, I actually got to really get to know myself. And that's such a cherished chapter for me that I have no shame in that. Sometimes when people tell me that like they're a single mom, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Because it's really what you make of it. It's such a challenge, but there is so much growth in that. And there's so much reward. And when you find out what you're capable of and kind of let that fire in your belly, like go full force and you go after, there's nothing like a single mom and the fight she has inside of her. I swear to goodness. And I just admire single moms everywhere so, so much because I know how scary it is and I know what a challenge it is and I know how absolutely fierce they are.
You talk a lot about body positivity and self-love. Mm-hmm. At what stage were you with that when you met your now husband?
Not a good one. It was like right after so I was probably at my lowest weight and I was so self-conscious. I remember being like, I don't know. It's insanity when I think back on it. Like even when we, like coming through my relationship with him, like I was very self-conscious about my body. Like I didn't want to ever have my shirt off or like my stomach ever shown or anything like that. I was so comparative to like who his exes were and what they looked like. Like, I don't know why we do these things to ourselves. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. And even to, I often talked about how he actually taught me a lot about loving my own body, because he's not like, he's kind of like such a dad bod. And I love that. It's my favorite ever. I'm so attracted to it. Like, I'm so attracted to him, but
we love a good dad bod around here.
Love it. But like, you look on all the magazines and I'm like, I don't ever see his body represented in anything. I don't see it on the magazines. I don't see it in TV shows. So why am I expecting that he only wants the things that he sees in TV shows, that he sees on the covers of magazines? What if I actually for a moment believed that he truly and completely loved me for who I am, that regardless of the stretch marks that I have from children that are not his, and the cellulite that's on my butt and the loose skin from late weight loss, what if I actually chose to believe that he actually finds me beautiful regardless of all of that? What if I actually believed it of myself first? And what if I actually allowed him to love me in the way that I deserved and I was worthy of? And just like I love him for the body that he has, and that he is worthy of that love too. And it really opened me up to just fully embracing who I was. And he was such a healthy mindset for me to be around. He loves food. He loves social time. We're both extroverts for sure. And he at one time said something to me that's always stuck, that he talked about how, you know, your body ebbs and flows with life. Like, how crazy is it that we expect that our bodies just stay the same weight forever? And he's like, my weight changes like every single year. And he goes, usually I lose 30 pounds. And in the summer I like to drink beer and I gain 30 pounds. And that's just my ebb and flow of life. And he was totally joking, but I was like, huh, isn't that so funny? Like, our bodies do change. Why do we put so much pressure to be exactly the same as we are all the time? We can't anticipate what it's like when we get sick or when we go through a season of being busy or we have children or we have stress, like all these different factors. Yeah. Like, give yourselves a little bit of a break here. Like, life is ebbing and flowing, and so are we. Like, so are our bodies. So kind of having him come in there, it's he's been kind of on this journey with me, and he will often, I will like stand there and I'm like, you know me, I'm like this body positive girl on Instagram, but I'm having like a bad day. And like, I need to talk through it with you. Like, I need to unpack my self-hate right now. And he's so there for it because I've learned so much to kind of channel those discussions and have healthy conversations about it and trust that he loves me for me. You know, I talk about how I was like the little spoon with a lot of rules, because he could hug me, but I was like, don't touch my stomach. Don't touch this. Don't touch that. Like, hands off. I can't do that. Like, I made myself so disconnected from intimacy because I felt so disconnected from my body and so ashamed of it. So coming into a relationship with somebody who truly honored my body and just allowed me that time to kind of like, he was so respectful of my boundaries, but just always reminded me how beautiful he thought I was and allowed me that time to kind of see that for myself. And when I did, there was no like weird transition where it was like, now you may touch my stomach. I just feel like, I just like put his hand there. And like, it was just like this beautiful intimacy that I so love having with him. Like, having somebody that you can connect with and connect your bodies and have that intimacy and that sexuality with somebody else, it's so amazing. And I feel so horrible that, you know, I stripped myself of that for a really long time because I was like, well, I have stretch marks and like loose skin and like it looks funny when I'm in this position. And no, like I took away so much joy and pleasure and intimacy for myself because I got into my own head. I created these roadblocks and I created a discussion that I assumed for him that was completely, completely false. So unfortunately, there are still men out there who, you know, don't understand the changes of a woman's body, and they don't understand, you know, that we kind of go through these things. But it's also an important thing for us to be open to and willing to share with men and to share. My son's a big one. I want him to grow up and understand that, you know, he's going to be with somebody one day that their body's going to change a million times. And who is he going to be as that happens? Yeah. How is he going to understand those changes and see them as beautiful and not something that they should ever be ashamed of? And I think the more that we show up, the more we change the conversations for women, but we also change them for men. We make men more aware that, and make them more attracted to the beauty of a woman's body, especially when she comes through something like a huge change like childbirth.
Yeah, like people don't realize how traumatic childbirth is to our mm-hmm. body, especially our insides, and how it does change. Your hips get wider, even if it's just a little bit,
yeah.
and like stretch marks. It's crazy. Like I knew my body was going to change. I had no idea just how drastically it was going to change.
Oh, for sure. And like, we don't know, we can't predict what our birth is going to be like. I know with my one, I had like a tear that made my like vagina seem like it was in a weird shape for a bit. And I was like, it was so in my head that I had a weird vagina. And I was like, how about you actually pushed out a 10-pound child?
Yes, and like a healthy baby.
You came out okay. Like nobody's complaining here but you. And like nobody even notices it but you. And like, there's such a weird mental game that we play. And the same with like, we put so much shame on our bodies for our stretch marks and the way that our belly buttons changed after we gave birth.
I know. I always say I have a sad belly button now. Like my stomach looks like it's so frowning.
Yes. I have that same one. And I used to have like, and everyone does that. Like if you pull it up from the top, it looks totally fine. But when you let it sink down, it looks like a little sad face.
But now we're friends. So.
Totally fine. But it's so funny when we go through those changes and we feel so much shame about our bodies. And there was at one point I was like, but the alternative was like no babies. And the alternative is like not having that change. And I don't know that I want that either. So what if I actually just thanked my body for doing a great job? Like it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
It didn't have the ability to keep growing. And so it created these little marks that were like little expander packs that make like, you know, when you're on your luggage bag, when you have too much luggage
the
and there's
extra
like
extra zipper,
you know, and you're like, yes, this is exactly what my body needed. It just like, and they're not comfortable. They're very painful. I'm still all for a stretch mark cream if you can prevent them.
Yeah.
Mine were not preventable. They were full force. They came like so quick and so painful, mm-hmm. but they were there as little expanders because I was about to give birth to my first child who was, you know, 22 inches long and 9 pounds. Like she was a big baby. My second was tiny and my third was big again. And, you know, my body did exactly what it was supposed to do. And at a certain point, like even if I'm 9 years down the road of it, there has come a point where I'm like, you know what? Job well done, body. Like you did exactly what you were supposed to do. And like, I honor you for that today. I'm done giving you crap about it. I'm done feeling ashamed of it. I'm done being upset that my sister doesn't have a stretch mark on her stomach. You know, like there's such an honoring to our bodies that we miss out on because there's so much pressure to like our hips are going to grow a little bit wider. Why would we even keep our pre-pregnancy jeans when our hips actually rotated a complete inch wider? So we're not going to be able to fit into them the same way we did before. So, you know, instead of trying to bounce back into our old bodies, let's bounce forward. Let's be something better and be a new and improved 2.0 version of us. So
yes.
I love it.
Amen. I love that. I'm all about what you just said. But are you against people who decide like plastic surgery is for me or I'm going to try these?
Oh gosh, no.
No, you're just about do what you got to do to be happy.
I think that body positivity at its core is such an honoring of the authority that we have over our body. Mm. It's not taking on the societal pressures of everything, but it's understanding that, you know what? So my mom, for instance, has lost a significant amount of weight and she had a tummy tuck and I'm like, good for you. That's amazing. For me, a tummy tuck wasn't a necessary thing. There is a lot of like discomforts in sense of like, if you're running, it's like running without a bra. There's like a lot of skin, like the excess skin is there. Same with like post-pregnancy. There's like, it's just like your skin is different. It's totally different. Your boobs are deflated. All of these things happen, but mm-hmm. I kind of went down the road of, I was totally going for it. And I decided to, just work on my like self-love during this whole journey. And by the end of it, I just felt so like in love and possessive of my body and like all of these like different parts of me that I was like, I actually don't need it anymore. But for people like my mom, she had, you know, it, honestly, I can give you the reasons that she needed to have one, but it actually doesn't matter. She got one.
Yeah.
And I so honor that. I so honor the choices of women. If we go down the road of feeling like we have authority over other people's choices or call them not body positive when they make different decisions, we're going so against the movement completely. And we go down a line that is very unhealthy. Like if we're saying you can't do this, then are we saying, you know what? Painting your nails is an enhancement. Dyeing your hair is an enhancement. Shaving moving your legs is an enhancement, wearing makeup is an enhancement. Like all, it's a slippery slope that I think we need not go down. I think we need a lot more support and a lot less judgment and a lot more honoring of each other's choices, no matter what they are. And just making sure that people feel supported, because a lot of women, I think, will make decisions for plastic surgery in a space of self-hate. And coming through that, the last thing they need is more hate. The last thing they need is to be judged for it. The last thing they need to be is to be told that they were wrong, or if they just loved themselves a little bit more, maybe they wouldn't be in that position. And I don't think that that's the right answer. I think the right answer is us to all just kind of take a step back and focus on ourselves and honor our own choices. There's things that I do for myself that a lot of people won't agree with, and that's totally okay. I completely honor my own happiness and my own choices within that.
Yeah, I'm all about, like, if a woman feels like, okay, this is what I feel like I need to do in order to embrace my body, do it. But I am not for, like, if someone's like, well, I know that my boyfriend likes bigger boobs, so I'm gonna get bigger boobs. It's like, honey, no.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Don't do that.
Anything that's marketed, I'm so against. Like, I hate brands that will come along and be like, do you want to get rid of those ugly stretch marks? Use this. I was like, don't call them ugly.
Yes,
like,
that's not the right to say. I hate when they say ugly stretch marks.
Like, if they say things like that, or like, get rid of that, like, muffin top, or get rid of this and get rid of that. Like, when it's being sold to us, I feel like it's really like, that's diet culture. That's such a toxic thing. They're just trying to make money off of our self-hate. They're trying to make money off of our insecurities. But when we're like, hey, I actually really want to do this. I know a lot of people after having kids or anything like that, they lose their breasts because they've gotten completely deflated and they decide and go get breast implants. That's something that totally happened to me too. I haven't gotten anything done, but I know women who have, and I also know women who have lost their breasts to cancer, and I'm not going to compare those two, but I honor the choices of both of them because both of them have their own bodies. Both of them get that choice about what they do from the change. And I think that that's so, we can't be so supportive, be like, oh, well, it's only okay to do that if you've had this happen. Mm-hmm. Because when you put yourself through something like having children and breastfeeding, it is a big sacrifice. And for a lot of women, they're like, you know what? I just want my boobs back. Like, I want that refill. And you know what? I was the same way, and I never actually went through with it, but I remember completely feeling like that. And I just don't think that it's something that we need to concern ourselves with when it comes to somebody else's body. There's like that saying, like, on like, my body, my business, her body, her business. And I think that we all need a little bit more of that.
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
But yeah, don't let anybody else tell you to do it. Then they're wrong. We only get to choose authority over our body, not anybody else's.
Do you see any more kids in your future?
Good question. We have like this discussion all the time, and I get so like weirded out by it because I'm like, I have like a daughter who's like a babysitting age. So I'm like, if we did it, we have a built-in babysitter. Wouldn't that be like so cool? But we talk about it. I think that we're still a little bit off from it, which is weird because I'm 34 now and I'm like, time's a ticking. But maybe. I think that we're still such newlyweds, so we'll see what happens. We'll see if we
enjoy each other first. And
we're not like stuck on the idea of having one, and we're not stuck on the idea of not. I think at some point we'll probably just like pull the goalie and see what happens. But I mean, what are you going to do? It's such a hard decision. Like, realistically, all of my kids were a surprise. So when it comes to like that season where you're like, oh, there's like actual choice here and like decision-making, I'm like, there's no good time to have a baby. There's always something going on. It's always crazy. It's so hard to kind of make that decision. So I think at some point we'll kind of maybe think about it a little bit stronger, but yeah, it's probably still a ways off.
What's your favorite thing to do as a family all together with that like blended family?
Oh man, they love amusement parks. They love amusement parks. They like going to things like that. And in the summertime, our favorite thing is we have a house with a little pool out back, and we just like to sit outside and do that. My son's very big on us having, he decided this a couple of weeks ago, and he's been putting us on the spot about it, but he told us that we didn't need to have people over to have a party. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And he's like, well, we can just do it ourselves. Like, it doesn't need to be like having a big party in order for us to spend all this time together. I think he was starting to feel like, you know, his older sisters are getting socialized and things are going on. And he's challenged us to kind of do stuff again as a family. So we've been doing indoor parties, which has just been like us watching popcorn and ordering pizza and watching a movie together. We've done it like twice now, and it's been such a cool experience. So that's winter activity. In the summer, it's going to go right back to amusement parks, I'm sure. And so, yeah, anything that we're doing together, we honestly just have a blast. I'm really excited that I have kids that I genuinely get to be friends with and enjoy spending time with. And it's less of the weeds of life that it was when they were toddlers and needed something from me every 5 seconds. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I know you have your new podcast coming out soon.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. It's been in production for like ever and a day, but it is coming. It's called the Papaya Podcast. And I, you know what, I'm excited to have conversations like this where we just got to dive into conversation with so many different women. I'm so excited to learn from different humans and their walks of life and their expertise and their stories, and just get to have some discussion around the stuff that maybe I'm just curious about. And I think that we should talk more about, but whatever it is, I'm excited to see where it goes. And hopefully that launches in the next couple months. I'm really stoked.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like I will say, even, you know, me starting my own podcast, like I still listen to other podcasts and even guests that I've had on my show so far. I listen to them on other shows because it's like you're getting, they might even tell the same story to another podcast host, but they have different experiences. So it's like you hear that person's experience because I shared my experience, and it's very cool connecting, just not just, you know, as moms, but as women, as people. It's so cool. It's
so cool. You know, it's so neat to kind of hear other people's like experiences and stories. And there's something about a podcast, which is so, I don't know, there's something about putting your phone down and having a conversation with somebody for like an hour. It's so magical. There's something about it, having that like deep conversation that's so undistracted, that I absolutely adore.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just its own little community, and, and I love it.
It's gotten me through a lot of stuff. You know, listening to podcasts have caused me, like, I usually listen to them in car drives and I'm heading to Toronto and stuff. And they have really caused me to think a lot more, or to feel just, you know, sometimes I'll listen to like Caitlin Bristow's and you totally feel like you're in the room just chatting with girlfriends. You know what I mean? Like that feeling where you're just so included in the conversation, or you relate to one facet of somebody's story, or you don't relate to it at all, but you get to learn about it so that you can be a more supportive person to somebody that maybe is going through something similar. So
yeah, you hear your friend talking about something and you can be like, oh, I just heard so-and-so talking about that on this podcast. You should listen to it. Or let me tell you what they said. And
And you know, I know there's a million different podcasts out there. And so I'm trying to like not set any goals in order to like be the next best podcast. I just want to be having the conversations I truly need and the ones I truly want to have, and hope that other people feel that same way. So I'm really excited about it. I think that's going to be a great extension of everything that I'm already doing. And hopefully I get to talk to more like really badass women like you. And
Thank you.
I'm all for it. So yeah, you'll be on mine at some point. I'll bug you.
Yes. No, you don't have to bug me. I will willingly, I volunteer as tribute.
Amazing.
Do you have any other plans for the future? Any other projects besides that one, or just one thing at a time right now?
One thing at a time right now, for sure. This year is like, I only actually quit my job last October. So I've been full-time working for myself since October. And so it's been, every single month has been in a completely new journey that I wouldn't have expected doing. I'm doing a lot more public speaking this year, which is very cool.
Yeah,
when I was in
grade
six, I won like best speech, and I am like been riding that wave since grade six, apparently, because now I'm like finally doing it as a real thing. So my grandmother even said to me, she's like, so somebody is actually giving you a microphone to like talk to people? I was like, yeah. Like, how did that come out full circle? Like me and all my talking, and now I finally get to do something with it. So yeah, doing a lot more public speaking. I'm hoping to travel a little bit more. The podcast is going to be so great for that, because it's going to push me to, I want to travel to more people and like have some more conversations and do some more cool things like that. So I'm really excited to see where that all goes, and hopefully it goes in really, really cool directions. So couldn't have anticipated all the things that happened in the last year, so I'm not going to try and anticipate all the things that'll come next.
That sounds amazing, though. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait. Hey. I'm going to continue to follow along. I'll hopefully be on your podcast. You can come back on mine anytime.
My gosh, you're so great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been great having you on. And I hope whoever's, you know, listening right now, I hope they, you know, could relate and take some things away from what we talked about today.
I hope so too. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share my story with your people.
Of course. And we'll talk soon.
Okay. Sounds great.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. She was incredible. I was actually surprised that she talked as much as she did. I would kind of like let her take the reins with this one a lot. And I love everything that she had to say. So, I mean, like I just said to her, I hope anyone listening, I hope you guys were able to take away, you know, something from this. She's just so great. Be sure to follow her on Instagram at The Birds Papaya and keep looking out for her new podcast, The Papaya Podcast. Very exciting. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to download and subscribe on radio.com, the new radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to your favorite shows. Tune in next Thursday. Cameron says it's time for me to go.
Bye.